Today's scripture comes to us from 1 Peter 4 through 10, and it reads as such: As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I said, today is Laity Sunday. And the Laity Sunday is celebrating the people of the church, the hands and the feet of Christ, as Christ is the head of the church. And today it is my honor to introduce to you our church council chair, Jean Shanley.
Good morning. It is my honor and privilege to speak today. When we discussed Laity Sunday, nobody wanted to speak, and so Kendra very cautiously said, I think people might like to hear about the bagels. And that's all you need to say is talk about the bagels, and I will talk. One of the things that the whole story of the bagels started 16 years ago when a group of teenage youth went to Pittsburgh to work on the Pittsburgh Project. And it basically enveloped fixing people's houses that could not fix them themselves. And the pastor at the High Street Church at the time came back and said, why don't we do this in Conneaut Lake? And so that got started, the work of His Work, His Way. His Work, His Way is comprised of volunteers who come pay to come to church camp, and they spend the week fixing houses of people who can't afford to have them fixed. They do roofs, they do everything under the sun imaginable. And one of the things that they needed at the time was someone to be in charge of the kitchen because we served them three meals a day. So I, without even thinking, I said, I can do that. And so Randy Deemer said, okay, you're on. So I went home and I told my sister we're going to be in charge of the kitchen. And she said, you don't cook. I said, that's beside the point. I make lists. My gift is to make lists. So we got started, and I cannot tell you how blessed the whole ministry has been. Each year, it seems that God sends a special message, a reminder of His blessing on these work. These are all laity people. 98% of it is done by the people of the church. A couple of the ministers also are involved, but 98% of them are laity. And the one big thing that happened, and this is just one of the many, many blessings, but the one year Mike Krebs was standing up there, and he's the leader. He was telling them what they were going to be doing that day. And this is an example of how God works. He said, well, the one drop project they wanted to work on needed a four-wheel drive vehicle, but we didn't have that, so they would be using a truck. One of the men who was just visiting for the day came with his sister, and he raised his hand and he said, I have a four-wheel drive. Where do you need it? He was there for that day, and that day was the day they needed a four-wheel drive. I don't think it gets any clearer than that, how God responds to our needs when we have them. Another time, a lady that used to work in the kitchen brought me two T-shirts, His Work, His Way T-shirts, about 10:30 in the morning. She said that she never used them, and she could no longer volunteer, so she wanted me to do with whatever. About an hour later, Linda Watson, another volunteer, came walking in, bringing somebody with her. It was a man I had not seen since he was a teenager, and he came to Bible school at my house. It was now 45 years later. He had suffered a stroke and was not expected to live. He had multiple surgeries, and the last I heard, you know, he was not doing well. She brought him with her that day, helped him down the steps so he was able to walk down the steps, helped him down the steps and surprised me. And of course, I was in total shock at seeing him. I hadn't seen him for a long time. So she said, "You have something he could do." So I put him to work putting cookies on a platter. He did a marvelous job. Then I got this brilliant idea, and I said, "Gary, what size T-shirt do you wear?" He said, "Extra large." And I looked at the T-shirt that the other lady had brought me. I said, "Here you go." The upshot was that evening, he told his wife all about his work his way. And she asked the caregiver the next day, "Where did you take him?" He was so excited to be able to be part of something again. And so she explained where she had taken him. But the field was not the only place that we found God's special blessings on us. Some people call them God moments, God's special blessings. I call them surprises from God. Each year, we make up a menu. I make my list. We make up a menu of what we need to buy. And we'd always had walking tacos on Tuesday or Wednesday. Well, that year, we decided we would have them on Monday. So I got a box of individual Doritos, 48 of them, which would be plenty, I thought. At 7:15 that morning, about 15 more volunteers came than what we were expecting. And immediately I thought, between breakfast and lunch, I'm going to have to go buy more Doritos. At 7:30, one of our volunteers came waltzing in, carrying a big box filled with individual boxes of Doritos. And I was like, "Are you kidding me? I haven't even got to the store yet." It was such an honor to see again how God provided, even when I didn't even realize that we would need those that day. And he also brought all the fixings for them. So when they did lunch that day, they had more than enough to have. We didn't have to even go outside the church. Another time, Mariah, our former youth director at Trinity, came waltzing in. And that morning, after breakfast, I had decided, now I'm making lists in my mind. I'm not praying God provide them. I'm just making lists because I had money. I figured I could go buy them. So I said to myself, "Okay, we're going to need some more cookies. We're going to need some more mayonnaise. We're going to need some more orange juice. And we're going to need bagels for tomorrow." About an hour later, Mariah comes in. She brings in this huge box of cookies. And I said, "Oh, wow, that's really good. Thank you. I'm mentally checked off. I don't have to buy cookies." She said, "Well, wait, I'm not done yet." I said, "Okay." So she came back in. She had a big gallon jar of mayonnaise with one cup taken out that she had used. I'm like, "Okay, don't need to get mayonnaise." And then she brings in a gallon of orange juice and several packages of bagels. And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And I could not figure out. I thought, okay, the cookies are left over from a graduation party. But bagels and orange juice, I just could not figure that out, how that happened. But I was like, "Thank you, God. That was really, really cool." Here she had had a graduation party on Saturday, and on Sunday she had a bridal shower for her other daughter, and they had a brunch, and so she had orange juice and bagels. So I asked myself later, was this just by accident that the two people brought exactly what I needed on that day? Did they buy too much? Or was this God's way of providing for us without me even knowing it? Now, as I told you, my gift is making lists. I do it very well. And then I have to find someone to do what I have on the list. One of the things I disliked about it was grocery shopping. So one day, the one man was working, and he'd come up from Florida. He was a relatively new Christian, and he said that he'd learned to serve in Conneaut Lake. So he was talking to me one day, and he said, "You know what I really like to do?" And I said, "What, Jeff?" And he said, "I love to grocery shop." He said, "If you give me a list, I will do all the grocery shopping you want." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? You will do the grocery shopping? What man likes to go grocery shopping?" He said, "I love it." I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Yeah." So now I don't even have to go grocery shopping. He takes the list and comes back, and everything is there for me. And I just thought about all these things when she was talking about how we need to share things that God has done for us. And I think it's appropriate that I talk about his work his way today because, as I said, 98% of the work is done by laity. And it's a real tribute to the community that the laity is working together from all the different churches, coming together to work, coming together to pray. It's really, really cool to be part of. And then I thought about the laity here at Stone Church. almost 2 years ago, I needed to find a new church. One of the lady here said, well, you can come to church at our church. So we said, okay, we'll try that. And to be truthful with you, I was at the point of I just want to sit in the pews, worship God, sing the songs, say the prayer, and go home. I don't want to do anything else. That's all I want to do right now. Well, that didn't last very long. When I came in, I was so welcomed by so many of you who made me sure that they welcomed me with loving hearts and warm smiles. I never walked out any Sunday, but I didn't feel like, wow, these are my new friends. And I have to really say that the lady was a major part of that, even before I met Pastor Sarah and Pastor Kendra. The lady has been there for me and for others. And I think that the important thing that we need to remember is that each of us has a gift. It's not all the same. Not everybody likes gifts. Not everybody likes to make lists. Not everybody likes a grocery shop. Not everybody likes to sing. Whatever it is, God gave you that gift. And the laity are the ones that have served the church continually. We get new ministers, but the laity that have been here have been the ones that have taken care of the church, that have been the ones that have maintained all the stuff, so that when we need the church for marriages, for weddings, when we need the church to have our children baptized, when we need the church to have celebrations of any kind, Christmas, Easter, all these other celebrations, when we need the church as a final thing to say goodbye to somebody, the church is there because the laity has worked very hard to make sure that it stays open. They have pored over budgets. They have talked about programs. They have talked about ministries. How can we reach out to other people? And one of the ways that we reach out to every people is by each of us using the gift that God has given us. When we join the church, we promise to give of our finances, our time, our talents, and our prayers. And I think all four of those are very, very important. Not one of them is more important than the other, but all of them are very important. And as we maintain the church, as we keep it open for future generations, we need to remember that we all need to use our gift. Paraphrasing John Kennedy, who in his inaugural address said, ask not what you can do for your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I thought about that this week, as I thought, we need to ask ourselves what we can do for our church. Our church has already done it for us. It has provided the harbor that we needed in storms. It has provided a quiet place for us to pray. It has provided a place for us to sing together, to worship together, to share each other's burdens, and to share each other's joys. Our God, we ask again, ask not what God can do for you, but what you can do for God. Again, God has already done it. We see them every single day. Ask yourself, what did God show me today that I didn't know yesterday? How did I reach out to someone today that I hadn't even known yesterday? How do I show compassion when people are going through tough times? How do I tell people that God is there when they wonder where God is? How do I tell people that God cares about them when they don't think anybody cares about them? I am so proud to be part of a church that allows all of us to use our gifts. All we have to do is say, hey, this is what I would like to do, and somebody will listen. If you say, I can do that, somebody will say, okay, let's try that. I love the church that says, we've never done this before, but we'll give it a shot. If it doesn't work, we can't say that we didn't try. I love the church that says, God will use me if I will let him. And so I ask you today to think about what your gift is. And you may have three or four gifts. I can do other things besides make lists. But I ask you today to think about what you can do to make this church be full again, to bring people in, to bring children in to hear about God, for people to know why we even come to church on Sunday morning, that we come because we want to, because we love God, not because somebody says you have to be here. We're not getting paid to be here. Nobody is twisting our arm to come. We come because we love God. And I love the joyful spirit that I see when people say good morning. It's not a good morning. It's a good morning. How are you this morning? How was your week? I love that. I love that about Stone Church, that we will listen to people's problems and we will see, but if we can't solve them, we can at least show compassion for them. We cannot understand how God works in all things, but we know he does. And so today I just challenge you as laity, as clergy, as people of God, to say, what can I do to make stone even better than it already is? And for that, we will all be grateful, especially those who are new to town, who are new and don't know what they can do at stone. Ask people, what would you like to do? Ask people, how can we help you? And be sure to always say, we are so glad you are here. I can still remember Barb Bowman saying, I'm so glad you could help today. And I was like, I really didn't do all that much. But she made it feel like I had totally changed the world that day when I stood and helped serve fruit at the soup kitchen. I was like, well, that was interesting. There were no complaints. Serving in the soup kitchen is a wonderful experience of serving God with no complaints. It's a wonderful time to serve God, and we need to take advantage of the opportunity now so that come Christmas time, we'll be ready for those who choose to come on Christmas. And I don't criticize those who only came on Christmas and Easter, because it tells me that at least they want to come on Easter and Christmas. It's like sending a birthday card to someone. It might be the only time you communicate, but it's still important. So let's be sure and reach out. Lady, I thank you. I thank you. I cannot tell you enough how precious it was to me to feel welcomed, how wonderful it was to know that there are people at Stone Church, which quite frankly, I thought were all rich people. And I wasn't sure I would fit in with the quote, rich people. I found out they are rich, maybe not in money, but in spirit, which is even more important. So today I challenge you to use your gift to make others feel welcome, to use your gift to make sure that our church is ready for everybody who walks through the door to help them in times of need and in times of joy. Remember, the laity does make a difference, as does the clergy. And as she talks about compromise, sometimes we do have to compromise, but we never compromise our values. We may have to compromise things that we do, but we never compromise our values, our love for God, our service for God, our service to the community. Thank you for being here to welcome me and others who have not been here for a long time. Thank you for caring enough to reach out to others in need. Thank you, each of you, who has done your part to make sure the church is where it's supposed to be. I really do thank you. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we thank you for this church, for the laity and the clergy who have made it such a tremendous impact on the community. We thank you for the welcome smiles, and we thank you most of all for our gifts. Help us, Lord, to use them in the way that you would use them to further your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.